Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. And today I'm really excited about the guest that I will be interviewing because this is a very special person. We met at a Toastmasters event and we really connected from the very first moment onwards. So I'm really happy that you're here. Srinidhi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nicolene. The pleasure is all mine.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
So, hi, everyone. My name is Srinidhi. I'm an Indian living in the Netherlands. It's been 10 years since I got out of India, and I've been living in Europe. I was in Germany briefly for my master's and my PhD. And then I moved to Netherlands shortly before the pandemic hit. And I've been staying with my husband here ever since. I have a PhD in cognitive and behavioral neuroscience. And after 5 years of working in multiple pharmaceutical companies, I decided to pivot my career. And today I'm a life coach and a certified Myers-Briggs trainer and a facilitator. And I have my own company, and that's called Courage Quest. And together with my accumulated skills and experience, I help individuals and teams to identify specific and repetitive behavior patterns to unlock and tap into their potential to create a more fulfilling and rewarding life and work experience.
Wow, I loved hearing a bit about that journey because I think it's really interesting and it all ties into, well, everything you've done and everything you've learned so far really ties into the work that you're doing now. So that's really exciting. So let's dive into that because I know it's quite recent, but how did you come to the path of an entrepreneur?
Very interesting story because never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that I would be an entrepreneur. I always thought my dad was a businessman and I always saw him grow up as an entrepreneur, struggling and striving and working very hard to support the family. And I didn't want a life like that. And I was always, okay, no, Dad, I'm not going to live a life like yours. I'm going to have a 9-to-5 job. You know, I'm going to take care of my family. Perfect life, work-life balance. This is what I'm going to have. And all I wanted to do ever since I was a kid was to serve people powerfully. And back in India, one of my biggest dreams was to become a doctor, but I couldn't study medicine because of financial situations from my family. The environment was not conducive. Plus the caste system that really asked for a very, very high grade to get an admission into a medical school. And that was very difficult as a person from a forward caste. To get a 99 percentile on 6 different subjects. I did get 94% and I was really proud of it though, but that didn't help me get into medicine. So I said, okay, if not this, I can still continue to find ways to serve people powerfully. So I did bachelor's in biotechnology in India. And then I wanted to get exposure because serving included a lot of people, included the understanding of cultures and diversity. So I got out of India to explore different cultures and decided to study master's in molecular medicine. So the medicine was still haunting me in a very good way. And I fell in love with neuroscience. science. I fell in love with brain development, and that became my thesis for my master's. And it was during the time that I lost my grandmother to neurological disease. And I was determined, like, that motivated me to pursue further study in neuroscience. So I did my PhD. I got a scholarship to do my PhD. And I focused my work on learning and memory formation with emphasis on Alzheimer's disease. So a lot on cognitive and behavioral neuroscience.
Yeah.
At that moment, I realized, okay, this is all great, but if I stay in university, I'm never going to be able to serve people in need frontline, right? So I got out of research and I started working as scientist in different companies, thinking that, you know, if I contribute to the development of drugs, I am serving people indirectly. But something was just not right. And I couldn't really point out what that was. And so I kept quitting jobs in search of that need to fulfill. Multiple jobs and up to the level of being a study director in a pharmaceutical company, only to realize that I was consumed more and more by the management and the behind the scenes, but not in the front line. And I realized that I will never be there in the front line serving people. So I last year, I just walked to my manager and I say, hey, I quit. Only to realize that the feeling was also mutual because of the pace that the entire Europe was going on. It was difficult for companies to find funding and management decisions. The first 2 weeks, absolute freedom, because I was not doing something that was not something meaningful for me. So it was freedom, but then reality hit in and hit in. It hit hard. It hit hard. I was drowning myself in my own fears and my emotions, anxiety and depression. And I didn't know how to seek help. The whole concept of mental health was still a big taboo for me, and I was not brought up that way. But yeah, I found myself enrolling for a life coaching certification program only to understand more about myself. Like, okay, what is it that I want? Okay, I tried everything in my power to serve people, and I've exhausted my list. I don't know how to serve people with all that I have accumulated in my life. And the whole idea of starting all over again was so unbearing for me. So I went in for this personal development. And one of the asks in this program was that I start coaching people. And the whole idea of just actively listening, being present with someone, giving them the space to be heard, because those were exactly what I needed for myself.
Yeah.
And it thoroughly fulfilled me, thoroughly. And of course, how long can I be unemployed, right? The fear of finances and financial independence was kicking in. I needed to figure out a way to make money. I knew what was fulfilling me, but I needed to figure out a way to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And so that's how my journey of entrepreneurship actually started. And I started my business last month. And with going on, allowing life to give me everything on the way and just flowing.
Wow, what a story. I can imagine that has been really, really intense. And it's so funny what you're saying about feeling like I'm starting all over again, which is, of course, it's not the case. It's never the case, because you don't start over again. You just start following on another path, because you have all the knowledge and the information and the research, and you bring all that baggage into what you do today. And I love it that these elements just click so nicely together, right?
It's very surprising. I wouldn't have ever imagined that today, my education, especially neuroscience, is helping me a lot.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so funny that many of the people that I interview on this podcast, they never imagined being an entrepreneur. They kind of accidentally went into it, and then all of a sudden it turned out to be the best thing for them. So I can imagine, even though it's still fresh, but it's so exciting that last month you officially started. Wow, that's so wonderful. So yeah, and I know it's going to be great, because I know, and we discussed this before, that you're a manifester in human design. And the process that you described, you know, like looking for the fulfillment and looking for the right place for you to serve people, that is, I think that is so typical for a manifester, that because, you know, as a manifester, you're only 9% of people are manifestors. So manifestors are the leaders. Manifestors are the people with a vision. Manifestors are the people who can see the entire picture, where others are still struggling with just today. And as a manifestor, you can see the future, like, okay, this is what I want to be doing. And you have an immense power at your disposal to make that happen. And I think what you just described is a perfect display of a manifester in full action, whereas the whole thing with energy and, you know, the feeling of depression and feeling lost, that is something that is very typical for a manifester too, because sometimes we don't, as manifestors, and I'm a generator, but I meet so many manifestors, and many of them don't see their own power. They don't feel their own power, but they feel that they have something bigger to contribute, but they find it hard to find the way how. And especially when people around them, they feel and they sense the power. And yesterday I spoke to a manifestor, and she said, you know, I have like a repelling aura sometimes, that people are like, oh, we don't want you. But it's not that people don't want you. They feel the power and they don't know what to do with it. So, and that's very often for manifestors, the challenge.
When you say this much, I'm able to relate on so many levels. Because ever since, I think all these years, I was called by names, I was called by labels, like being dominant, being aggressive, being superly independent. Oh, you are an intimidating person. Mm. You overwhelm me. Your presence is too much and I don't like it. And for me, it's very hard when people say no to me, to my vision. And when they say no, that's exactly when I start rebelling.
Yeah.
I was a rebellious child. My parents couldn't control me. Like, they say, okay, we have to protect our daughter, so we cannot let you go out and play. That's the first thing that I do, go out and play.
Yeah.
And play with male kids. They didn't support my master's education. It was my grandmother's who consoled them and allowed them to send me abroad. They didn't want to pay for my PhD. So I said, okay, I will fund myself. And I found myself a scholarship. They didn't approve of my betting. I said, okay, I'll show you, I'll prove it to you because I can see the vision. And now they're the happiest people ever. It takes time.
Yes.
For them to see the vision that I have.
Yeah, absolutely. And the I would say the strategy that every manifester needs to follow is inform before you initiate. That is your best strategy. Because if you pursue the things that you want to pursue and the things that you see, then people won't get it. They will get lost and they will be like, what are you doing? But how? And no, that's not a good idea. Don't do it. That's dangerous. That's stupid. That's whatever. But if you keep informing people of, listen, this is the vision and these are the steps that I need to be taking in order to get there, because I know I will get there. I have the power to get there. And these are the steps. And then people will be more able to be with you, to be involved on your journey. And then it's like you said, you know, with your parents, at first they didn't get it, but now they are the happiest people because they have seen how it worked out. So it has a lot to do with trusting the manifestor power as well. And I can totally relate to the thing about being a child and being a rebel. My sister is a manifester. She was the rebel. She was the rebel in our family. But my parents tried to confine her, and that was not the best strategy. So for a manifester to really thrive, what is needed is the trust, like, okay, you're a manifester. I trust your power. I trust your vision, but you need to keep me informed of what you're doing. And then it's so much easier for everyone around the manifester and the manifester herself, because it can be really tough. And you just described exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely. It all makes sense when you explain it so well.
Yeah,
and it just improves the communication when I prime people around me as to what my goals and visions are.
Exactly. And that's what it is. So with your new business now, what is really important is that you get the word out there. Like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what you can hire me for. And this is my big goal. And I love it that you said you wanted to serve people from a very young age. And this is what I get from many manifestors, that they have this vision from a very young age. And some people around them, especially as a child, they get ridiculed, or they're like, yeah, right, what a vision, or what do you want with that? But it's such an important driver for you to move forward. So I would, to give you some unsolicited advice.
Yes, please do.
Being an entrepreneur as a manifester is to get the word out. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. So keep people informed of what it is that you do. Share your story of, okay, I used to have a background in neuroscience. I have a background in life coaching, and now I'm combining the two. So sharing your story is incredibly inspiring, and it will get people into your world, the right people that are not being overwhelmed by your power. So it's all about informing. And even if you feel like, oh, I need to repeat the same thing over and over again, please do, because that's what we need from you manifestors.
No, I mean, I've been writing consistently on LinkedIn, and I see that. I see how much of sharing relatable experiences is comforting people.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And I love your posts on LinkedIn. They are so valuable. You create this series of tips and how people can handle stuff in life. But it's also like other people can give these advice as well. Yeah. But I really want to know why I should be working with you. And I think, especially as a manifester, and I'm sure you tell me whether or not this is correct. When you work with a person, you can see their potential.
Yes.
You see it like instantly, because that's your superpower as a manifester. You have the vision, you meet person and you're like, okay, this is what you should be doing. But again, when you meet people and manifestors, only 9% of the people are manifestors. So 91% are other energy types. So very often people are not aware of their strengths and they are not aware of their power and their super talents. So when you tell me as a manifestor, like, okay, this is your super talent, I'm like, I'm not sure. I don't know. So again, it's important to break things down and to help people experience their power and to step into that power, because 91% of the world needs more time. Whereas a manifestor sees it like this and like, yeah, but why don't you see it?
Yeah. No, you literally pulled out words from my mouth. I think that when I say serving people in need, as I also mentioned when you asked me to introduce myself, like unlocking potential.
Yes. And I can imagine with all the knowledge and the experience that you have, that is exactly what you can do. So the life coaching is a means to an end. And it will help people to really step into their power and to become the amazing person that they have been all along, but that they haven't seen. And I think that's so great about the work that you do.
Thank you. I hope to continue, and I hope to continue refining this. And I do have more visions, and it's just a step-by-step process. So.
Yes, I can imagine. So can you elaborate a bit more on that vision? Because I'm curious to hear, like, okay, what are your dreams? Like, what would you like to achieve?
So for me, achievement is something of an accumulation in my life. That's not the focus that I want to have in my life. For me, success is something like when my everyday habits and goals align to the vision of my future, right? And my personal vision is to live a life of courage and service. And that's rooted in the belief that we all have the power to impact this society in a positive way, right? My short-term vision would be, today it's through coaching. Tomorrow it can be through something else. The day after it can be through something else.
Yeah.
But my vision of impacting people powerfully is not going to change. And whatever I accumulate along the way is just an accumulation to help me see that vision.
Yeah.
And if I have to say, the one lasting legacy that I'd like to leave behind is to create an environment that's filled with empathy, filled with courage, and filled with positive change. If you have courage, everything falls in place.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness, I can so relate to that. I mean, when we have the courage to do things differently and to speak up and to be our unapologetic self, then the world is becoming a better place. And I'm absolutely sure that when everyone would really connect to their core, and the world would be looking really differently.
And that's why I named my business as well, Courage Quest. It's always a quest to find.
Absolutely. It's such a great name. I love it. Yeah, Courage Quest. Because that's it. We're all on a quest for courage, and we're all looking for the moments where we don't have the courage, and then we're like, okay. I remember reading a book by Susan Jeffers called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I mean, it's over 20 years old already, but it's the phrase, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's such a great guideline.
Yes, but I also know that you're writing your next book in your series, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So
I have my own courage element. So the courage book was already written in the Flick the Fuck It Switch series. So courage was actually the first
one
that I wrote. Because I wrote it, of course, for others, but I also wrote it for myself because I needed the courage to start publishing my book. So the courage book was the first one. The focus book is the second one that was published. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I thought I still have two books in the series to write. First one, the passion book, and then the power book. And for a long time, I thought I need to start writing the passion book. But it just didn't come. And I was like, a writer's block. And, you know, why am I not writing? But now I know that the order should be reversed. Yes. So the power book should be the first one. And then the passion book.
Wow.
So, that's going to be the next one. Working on that.
I can't wait to have that on the series.
Yeah. Yeah, and when the series is complete, you know, I think this is the entire concept of being able to flick the fuck it switch. Like, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And I think we need those four elements. We need our power. We need our talents and skills. We need our passion, the things that we're passionate about. But if you only have the power and you don't have the passion or the focus or the courage, it's not going to happen. So I think we need those four elements in order to really take the leap and jump like you did with starting your own business. So
yeah, absolutely. They are all like sharp-edged knife and you really need to use them wisely.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if you look at the hurdles, or I know you shared some of the hurdles already that you overcame, the struggles that you had. Are there any things that you encountered since you started your own business that you're like, oh, this is, I didn't expect this. I didn't anticipate this.
Oh, well, a lot. Because one of the things of exploring unknown territory is that you don't know what to expect. Yes, you have a vision. You think you will get there in this way. But so many things come in that it forces you to take alternate routes, consider alternate options. And it's a journey. It's a journey to keep the spark in you up and running. It's a journey to have this unshakable self-belief that you will get there.
Yeah.
No matter what, no matter who says, whatsoever it may be, while also trying to have the boundaries that you set. And it's a hard process for me to learn these boundaries, especially now that I know about a little bit more about manifestors, especially managing expectations, not just for myself, but more for the people around me, right?
Yeah.
And in my case, especially, I am still a high and highly analytical, a high achiever, an expat, trying to integrate into an unknown society that I wasn't brought up in, never have had financial dependency. So I was always financially independent. And to have that break of suddenly having to depend on someone or go do meager jobs, like working in a supermarket just to, you know, sustain yourself and pay your bills, it's perceived very differently.
Mm.
Very differently. People who know you really well for your educational background and for your intellect and for your achievements tend to question, like, why? Right? And it's so easy to fall back to what you were doing before.
Yeah.
but it's way harder to go on with that self-belief, knowing that you will get what you want. And it's harder, and I know that I don't have to convince myself, convince people around me as to why I'm doing certain things my way. But it's harder to deal with their opinions when it's not just a one-time thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is I wouldn't say an ongoing struggle. It was a struggle in the beginning, but now I am perceiving it differently. So it's a mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can totally relate to this because especially when we feel the drive to make a difference in the world, for the people around us, it may be harder to grasp it, to understand it. And especially when you look at the money aspect and the status aspect, that people find it hard to understand, like, why do you settle for less money while you have this incredible background and you could, when you would work for a company, it would be, you would be really well paid and you would have, I don't know, a company car and many perks. And but it's very hard to explain. That's why it's really important. That's what I learned the hard way, to surround yourself with the right people. And especially if you don't feel the self-motivation of, oh, this is why I'm doing this. Oh, this is why I love doing this. And this is what I'm good at. When you lose that feeling every now and again, and it happens to all of us, it's so important that we have the right people around us. So I really invested a lot of time in building my network, and the group programs that I run now are all about that we fully understand and support one another, and that people don't feel lonely. And whenever they need like a shoulder to cry on or a loving kick in the butt, that's what they get. And that's exactly the spirit that I want in my groups, but also in the networking groups that I'm in. So just recently I started to do pop-up mastermind sessions. Mm-hmm. And people love it because it's all about that. They bring in a question, they bring a request for feedback or inspiration, and they get it from all the people in the room. And I think it's so necessary that as entrepreneurs, we do exactly this. We surround ourselves by the right people.
Yeah, no, I can't agree more, because building that, I mean, we all don't need advice. Mm. We all know how to solve our own problems. Exactly. What we need is the space.
Yes.
That space. The space that someone is allowing us to talk,
yes,
to be heard, right? And it's very difficult if we don't surround ourselves with the right support people, because then it's just going to annoy us, right? Like we don't want people to solve problems. And it's as much as it is important, even today, as much as it is difficult, for whatever or how much ever I can afford, there are people who are very, very generous to give that support. And I'm very, very, I feel very generous to receive that support as well. Mm. And it took a while for me to understand that generosity is a two-way street.
Yeah.
That it's not just giving, but it's also about receiving, because yes, this creates a ripple effect. What I get is what I give as well.
Absolutely.
And I've been coached a lot, and I'm surrounding myself with people who support, who understand my vision, not necessarily support, but at least understand and treat me as an individual, as a unique individual, and not as an equal.
Absolutely. That's so important. That's so important, because only then we can sustain as an entrepreneur and keep doing what we love doing, even we cannot see like material success, between air quotes, immediately. So it's absolutely necessary. So before we wrap up this wonderful conversation, I would love to hear your top three advice to our listeners, your top three lessons, the things that you've learned and that you would like to pass on to our listeners.
Well, this has been an exhilarating journey for me, and I'm so happy to keep up to the my word of this year, which is thrill. And it's been really thrilling. I've learned lessons in the last 6 months that I've never learned in the last 30 years of my life. And today, I can say with utmost confidence that we need to learn three things in our lives. And one is to really understand why. What is your why? Why are you doing this? And aligning our body, mind, soul, and our core values to that one why that we clearly define. It has to be really clear in our hearts. And this is going to help with the focus, perseverance, resilience, and it's just going to add fuel to the experience that we have. The second one I would say is courage is walking alongside your fears, right? The earlier we make friends with our fears, the better it is in the long run. So it's important to redefine and reframe what failure is for us. And it's, for me, it's different. And I now have learned to not compare myself to someone else's definition of success or failure. And what others think of you is their perception of how the world should be. And the moment I knew this, I broke free of criticism and judgments.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. So good. This is so good because we really tend to pay too much attention to what other people are thinking and feeling, and especially what I see a lot, and that is not so much for manifestors, even though I see it a lot with manifestors who have been conditioned to tone it down because they were too much, too loud, too present, too whatever. They start people pleasing. And it's so important that we don't do that. The first and only person that we should be pleasing is us, ourselves. And by doing that, then we can serve others.
100%. I was there. I got caught in that web and I hated it. And I didn't know how to come out. Only to lose myself in this whole process.
Yeah. And I think it's so important that we catch ourselves when we do that and turn that around into, okay, this is not helping me. This is not helping me, but it's not helping other people either. Yeah. So it's really important to turn that around. So I love your top three. People will love it too. And of course, we're going to share all your details in the show notes so people can connect with you. Find you, they should, because I can totally see this being amazing for you and your business, and I'm happy to help you promote that through this podcast episode.
That's amazing, Nicolene. I can't thank you enough, and I'm so humbled and honored to receive this opportunity to be as a guest on your podcast. I hope to learn and grow from the wonderful community that you have built around, and I can't wait to be more inspired by you and the people around you to share that experiences and to support each other. Yes. And this has been a fantastic start of my business career. And thank you for giving me the platform and the opportunity not just to have this interview, but also an opportunity to showcase my talents and my work. And I hope to be able to repay this generosity and create the ripple effect to everyone around me as well. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. You know, this is the way I look at things, is that when you do the right things, great things will come to you. And it's not because of that that I do it, because then it wouldn't be selfless. But I really want this world to be a better place with people who do exactly that, that we cheer each other on instead of seeing each other as competitors, that we really celebrate one another and support one another in order to make this world a better place. And I think we're both on that same track. So thank you for that. And I really look forward to seeing how things will progress for you.
Absolutely. And I really look forward to working with you as well in the future. So it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicolene.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. So please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.